The following is a talk I'm about to give entitled Feeling Someone's Pain at the Bikur Cholim Tea for Munkach in Brooklyn on May 27th, 1992.
I'm deeply grateful to Mrs. Pearl and to the Rebbetzin for having invited me to come to speak to all of you here on behalf of the Bikur Cholim Askeret Truma of Munkach. In a few weeks, Mitzvah Hashem on Shavuot, in Bote Knesiyos and in Bote Midrashos throughout the world, we are all going to lay Megillas Rus. And one of the reasons that we lay Megillas Rus is many of you who learned in Beis Yankov know that David HaMelech was born on Shavuot and David HaMelech was Nifter on Shavuot. And David HaMelech's great-grandmother was the Tzidkoniyos Ruth. And this Tzadekis Ruth, we read about her, but in the very first pasuk of Megillas Ruth, we learn a frightening lesson. In the very first pasuk, it tells us about a person whose name was Elimelech. Elimelech lived in Eretz Yisrael, and there was a hunger, and then he left Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi tells us in the first pasuk, Oshir Godel Hoya Upanis Hador. Elimelech was very wealthy. The Yotza Me Eretz Yisrael, but he went out of Eretz Yisrael. Mitnei Tzora Ta'ayin, Shehoisa Einoi Tzora Va'aniyim Haboyim L'Zoyzgoy. There were many people that needed Elimelech. He was wealthy. He had funds, he could have helped the sick, he could have helped the poor, he could have helped the hungry. But he didn't want to be bothered with it. So he didn't feel the pain. And if he didn't feel the pain, he decided to leave Eretz Yisrael. And Nebuch, he got a terrible, terrible illness. He lost his nechosim, and people in his family were nifter. All of you that have come here tonight, every woman that has come here tonight, can feel proud that you are participating in a great organization that feels the pain of other people. People that are sick feel lonely, they feel isolated, their families are frightened, they're concerned. But all of you, in the many, many different ways, in the ways of the Minchas Elazar, you have been involved in Chesed, whether it's making meals for people, whether it's visiting, whether it's giving money for doctor bills, or even by saying Tehillah. All of you should feel proud that you are people that feel the pain. I would like to tell you a story that I heard recently. This is the first time that I'm telling this story publicly. A beautiful story that happened many, many years ago. Those of you who know me know that I'm very close to Rav Shalom Shmadron, the Maggid of Yerushalayim. And his son-in-law, Rav Arya Malevsky, told me this story. It was before the Second World War. And there was a young woman in Yerushalayim that had a child. She had already had a number of children, but this child, as the child got to be one and a half, two years old, she realized that this child is not walking. No matter what, how they tried to train the child wasn't walking. And subsequently, she had another child, and the little baby was making even more progress than this other girl. And this young mother was frantic. She was running from doctor to doctor, trying to get help so that her child would walk. One day, she heard about a tzaddik. This tzaddik came from Europe. His name was Rav Shlomo Goldberg. He was known as the Zvila Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Zvila. And he went to the Zvila Rebbe. She went to the Zvila Rebbe and she started crying and she started telling him that she has a child and the child is not walking and she needs a bracha. All the doctors say that it's hopeless. And the Rebbe looked at her and he said, "What can I do? I wish that I could help you, but there's nothing that I can do." And she started crying even more. She said, "Rebbe, if you can't help me, who can help me? I need a bracha. Please help me." And she was crying, and the Rebbe looked at her and he said, "I wish that I could help you, to you, but there's nothing that I can do. Tzaddikim, they know when they can help and they know when they cannot help. And finally she said, Rebbe, my husband is learning Torah day and night. I come from a family that's learning Torah day and night. Please tell me if there's anything that you can do. And the Rebbe looked down and he said, I wish I could help you, but the only thing that I can tell you is that there is a Kabbalah in Yerushalayim, that if somebody has a Sura, they should go to the Kaiso Maravi 40 days in a row. And the only thing that I can tell you is that you should go 40 days in a row and be misfollowed by the Kaiso. And when the lady heard this, she started crying even more. She said, Rebbe, how can I go? How can I go? I have children that are older than this child. I have to take care of this child. How am I going to walk there on Shabbos? I can't get there. And she blurted out something that in later years she never believed that she said. She said, Rebbe, you be my shliach, you go for me for 40 days. And the Rebbe said, that I'll do. I'll be your shliach. And she went home and she started counting Tefillah 40 days from that day. She had no idea whether the Rebbe went that day or the next day. But from the next morning she started counting 40 days. And on the 40th day, this Rebbe Shvadron, Rav Shalom's wife, they heard a scream in the other room. The little girl had fallen off the bed and she was walking out of the room. This little girl, Chayla, is Rav Arya Malevsky's wife. And that's why this is his favorite story. What do we learn from this beautiful story? We learn that there are many ways to feel the pain of other people. Even by davening for someone, that alone is also feeling the pain. No person should go through a Shemoneh Esrei without davening in Rufa'enu for other people. You know, everybody in this room positively knows someone that's sick. There are many people, Nebuch, that are sick. There are many people that are suffering. But there are 10 times as many people that are not suffering. We look around, Baruch Hashem, we're all here. I don't see anybody here on crutches. I don't see anybody here in a wheelchair. Baruch Hashem, there are 10 times as many people not suffering. But if you know of a person, if there's a mother that I met recently who has a 4-year-old that has a brain tumor, if you meet someone whose husband has Alzheimer's, if you meet a parent that their daughter has an arrestus called, right? Those people, they don't think that there's 10 times as many people not suffering. They think there's 1,000 times other people that are not suffering the way they do. They look around at the world and they feel isolated. They feel lonely. And they feel terrified. And that's what we've come here tonight. We have come here tonight because people in Munkat care. People of your caliber, whether you help with finances, whether you help to go bimavaka chayla, whether you help to prepare the meals, whether you help to daven, all of you should feel proud that you feel an achrayus. Every day when we daven Rifa'enu, we know if you count it, you'll see that it's the 8th bracha Shemoneh Esrei. And the Gemara in Megillah Yutayin Amud Aleph says, why is Rifa'enu the 8th bracha? Because a bris takes place on the 8th day. So what has it got to do? Because a baby has to have healing. So when you daven for everyone, you're davening that every baby should be healed on the 8th day. That's why you daven and you have Rifa'enu on the 8th day, on the 8th bracha. We all know that Avraham Avinu, where do we know Bikur Cholim? Because the Eibishter came to be Mavakar Cholim. Where was that? After Bris Milah, which is also done on the 8th day. However, there's another reason. There's another reason why Rifa'enu is the 8th bracha. All of you who have learned in school know that numbers in Yiddishkeit represent certain things. 1 represents something, 2 represents something, 7 represents Shleimus. There are 7 days in a week, there are 7 years in a Shemitah, there are 7 heavens, David HaMelech says there are 7 levels of wisdom. 8 is L'mayla min HaTeva. 8 is something that's higher than nature. And what every person in this room has to know is that Refuah is higher than nature. No doctor has a right ever to give up hope on someone. It says in Pasuk, V'rapa yirapa, so the Gemara says in Bava Kama, Tehei Amin Aleph, Mikan, Shenigna Rishus L'Royfei V'rapa. The Eivisha gives permission for a doctor to heal, but he doesn't give him permission to give up. That's what you have to tell the Chayla. You have to tell the Chayla that the doctor only can heal, but he can't throw in the towel. Because illness and the healing of illness is higher than nature. I want to share with you a story that teaches us the unbelievable Yad Hashem that there is in healing and in illness. I'm always grateful when people call me and tell me certain stories. I forgot already who called me to tell me this story. It was so remarkable and so unbelievable that I had to make many, many calls until I found out all the pratim. But this story is shocking and unbelievable and true, every word of it. Some of you may have heard, a number of years ago, there was a man whose name was Shmuel Rubinstein. He was a man, he was a cipher. I remember when I was a young bachur in Tervadas, he used to come and he sold certain contration that he had written. He wrote on tefillin, and he wrote on mezuzah, and he wrote on Beis HaKnesset. He's a very talented person. But when this Shmuel Rubinstein, when he was but a teenager, he was living in the Bronx. He was 14, 15 years old. Nebuch, his father, had passed away already. He was a yatim. And he was traveling every day from the Bronx all the way down to Brooklyn to come to Torah V'Das. And Nebuch, one time he got rheumatic fever. And those of you who know about rheumatic fever know that it can affect the whole nervous system. It can affect the heart. And the doctor told him that he cannot go anymore to travel so far from the Bronx all the way down to Brooklyn. It's just simply too far for him. And so his mother had to find a yeshiva that was closer. And in the west side of Manhattan, the Bava of a Rebbe at that time was opening up a yeshiva. He opened up the yeshiva. There were 16 bachrim. It was a very small place. But this mother had up a shaykhah succeeded. So she decided, Kenneth and Schlecht, she'll send him over there. And so he went there, and he became very, very close to the Rebbe. He loved chassidus. He began growing a beard and wearing a gartel, and he began admiring tremendously the Bava of a Rebbe. It happened on Sukkot, that one day on Sukkot, Chol HaMoed Sukkot, he wanted to go see the Rebbe. And he went, and he traveled by train, and he came to the west side where the Rebbe was. And he said to the Rebbe, he was practicing this all night. He asked the Rebbe, Rebbe, please would you allow me to use your lulav and esrog? I would like to shake the Rebbe's lulav and esrog. And the Rebbe said to him, Shmuel, my kin, what do you have to shake my lulav and esrog? Didn't you make a bracha on your lulav and esrog this morning? What do you need mine for? And he said, no, Rebbe, I'm sure that it's a tchus, that if I use your lulav and esrog, it's a great tchus. And so, in a way, he was even hoping that the Rebbe would tell him no, because he was afraid what would happen if he dropped that Heilige Esrog. And so the Rebbe went to his silver pushka where he had the Esrog, and he took out the beautiful Esrog with the pitam on it, and he gave it to the boy. And the boy was holding it, he held the pitam upside down, because when he was going to get the lulav, then he would turn over the Esrog. And he was nervous like anything. And when you're nervous and you're afraid that something is going to happen, many times it happens just because you're so nervous. And he had the little esrog, and he was supposed to turn it over, and he was trying to turn it over. And as he turned it over, it fumbled from his hands, and it fell on the floor, and it rolled to the wall, and he thought his life was over. The pitam is broken. He broke the Rebbe's esrog. He's absolutely finished. He wanted to bury himself right on the spot. He was so devastated, he couldn't talk, he couldn't cry, he couldn't say anything. There was no voice coming out of his mouth. And the Rebbe went to the wall where the esrog was, and he picked it up and he said to him, Shmuel, mein kind, tashtake esrog. The pitam didn't break. And he said, you know that it says in the Medrash that the the meaning, the full meaning that we use on Sukkot, are to neged the different parts of the body. The lulav is for the spine. The hadassim are for the eyes. The arabis is for the mouth. And the estric is for the heart. The Shmuel, the Avis is showing you, you're going to have a strong heart. You're going to be gesund. This is the simon. Don't be worried. And here, a nightmare turned into a dream. He couldn't, and a moment ago he thought his life was over, that he broke the Rebbe's ethic, and now it turned out to be the greatest of bracha. And he never, ever told this story to anyone. He never told the story to anyone except many, many, many years later. He was sitting in the sukkah with his children, and he said to his wife and children, I want to tell you a story that happened long ago that I never told anyone. And he tells him the whole story with the estrig, how he was nervous and how he dropped it, and how the Rebbe gave him a bracha. And he says, I'm telling you this story because today it's 32 years since that story happened. And Leiv is the gematria 32. 3 weeks later he died. Isn't that amazing? A doctor could have told him long ago that his life would be over. But the Rebbe gave him a bracha. The Rebbe told him that he's going to have a strong heart, and he showed it to him from the estrig. And so it was the Rebbe that showed him what it means to have strength. The Gemara says in Baba Basra, Kufta Zayin, Amar Alav Kofi Yech, Soi Choyle, Besai Beisai, Yelech Eitel Chocham, Yivak Eitel of Rachamim. Of course we have to go to doctors, and of course we need bigger Choylem organizations. But we have to know that Rifa'einu is the eighth bracha, because healing is l'mayla min ha-teva. The Eivisha is the one that's right by Chole Amo Yisrael, and that's the main one that we always have to depend on. There's a very famous Gemara. Many of us know the Pasuk Zekeli Vanveyu. The Gemara says in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, what does it mean, Zekeli? This is my God, this is my Rabbani Shlalom, Vanveyu, and I should adorn him. So it says, make a nice sukkah, and you should have taka, a nice luv, an estrig, a nice shofar, a nice shul, all things to be beautiful, a sefer Torah, all the mitzvahs. But Abba Shaul says something else. He says, you know what anveil means? Have a doimalai. We should be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? Va'anveil is a combination of two words. Ani v'hu. I and him. I and the Rabbeinu Shalala. And the Gemara says in Sefer Yudalat Amud Aleph that the Avisha is one who is Malbish Arumim, who is one who is Mavaka Chaylim. And so therefore, when we are doing an act of Bikur Chaylim, whether it's helping with meals, whether it's helping with funds, whether it's with visitation, whether it's the Tehillim, we're doing the Getlecha Adas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why we can all feel proud. I want to tell you another story, how it means to be Getlach, like the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. There was a tzaddik in Yerushalayim, his name was Rabbi Yudel Holtzman. Rabbi Yudel Holtzman never had no children, he was an elder of years, a big Baal Halacha, a big Helik of years, very, very poor. And it happened one day that there was a man in shul that was collecting stoka for an operation that a person needed at the tailor that had come from France, a Yiddish person, a tailor, and he needed help. And he went to Rabbi Yudel, and Rabbi Yudel said, I wish that I could help you, but I've given all my Meister money already, and I've given even my Meister money of the money that I'm going to earn for the next year, and I never give more than a year in advance, and I'm already at a year already ahead of my Meister. So the man left. What did he do? Rabbi Yudel was a big tzaddik. He had given so much money. And then what happened was Rabbi Yudel ran after him. And he said, come back here. I just thought of an idea. The Avisha gave me an idea. And listen to how a person feels the pain of others. He said, I remember that there's such a halacha that Friday night you can make kiddush on challah. Every Friday night I make kiddush on wine. But if you go to the gemach and you take money from a gemach, take 20 pounds, which was a fortune at those times, I will pay back every week from the amount of money that I was going to spend on wine, I'll make kiddush al challah. And that's how I'll pay back this week. alone. And for 15 years, Rabbi Yudel Holtzman made a Kiddush on Challah, because every week he took the money that he was going to use for wine for Kiddush, and he gave it so that there should be this operation for this person. That's called feeling the pain. You know, there's a pasuk that says that when Yosef saw his father Yankai, Rashi says in Bereishis Membov Choptes, Yosef nira el aviv. Yosef appeared to his father. So Mepharshim asked, what does it mean Yosef appeared to his father? They both appeared, they both saw each other. But here we learn a tremendous lesson, Rav Leib Chassman says. There are two things. When Yosef didn't see his father for 22 years, and he was about to see him, he could have said, oi, I'm so happy I'm going to see my father. But then he also could have thought, oi, my father didn't see me. That's what I should concentrate. Becoming the one that my father wants to see. Not that I'm worried about my joy that I'm going to see the father. And so I thought that tonight, perhaps, I should present certain guidelines for all of us in Bikur Cholim. Because many of us want to do the mitzvah, but sometimes we forget that the main thing is that person has to want to have visitors. That person has to want to feel comfortable. And so what we have to remember is that if a chayla doesn't want visitors, you should respect that wish and don't go visit. The last few weeks I interviewed people that are either sick or families of sick people. And they told me certain things that they wish everyone would know. And this is one of them. Many people that have friends that are ill feel guilty if they don't come to visit. But many times the sick person is not up to it. So what's more important? You're doing the mitzvah or they're feeling comfortable? You have to be sure that they're up to visitors. Even if they're making progress, so to speak. Many times people are embarrassed because they're in hospital clothes. They feel they're like in prison clothes. And so therefore they don't want to be seen when they're hooked up to monitors and tubes. So before you go visit someone, think in your mind, are you visiting because you want to see what's doing or because you want to make them feel comfortable? Many people, chaylim, have told me they can't stand when people say to them, don't worry, everything will be fine. How do you know everything will be fine? Are you a malach? Are you a navi? The only thing they want people to say is that the Rabbeinu Shalom should give you a refuah shleima. Or say you'll keep them in mind in your tefillah. But don't tell them when they have nevach yena machla that everything will be fine, because in a way they feel you're laughing at them. Families tell me, don't call and say, I'll do anything, what can I do? Because that means nothing. Be specific. Tell them, offer them a ride. People that have family members that are in hospitals, they're in no condition to drive. Give a specific idea. Can I cook a meal for you? Can I do the laundry? Can I take the children? Can I drive? Don't be general, can I help? Because they're never going to call you and tell you what you can do to help. Don't tell them how bad their doctor is. So many times we know that there are doctors that are good and doctors that are not good. The time to give advice is before they choose the doctor, not when the guy is sitting there with the tube hooked into him and you're telling him, well, if I knew would have had a different doctor, then it would be different. Send a postcard. This is a meeting that I have. People who know me know that whenever they go to airports or wherever, they always find me postcards. I have a file of more than 300 cards. Anytime that I know someone is not well, every day I just write them a card. And just like this, they know that I can't call every day, they don't want to be bothered every day, but at least they know that I thought about them. I had an aunt, I don't know if any of you know her, a favorite aunt of mine, Mrs. Libella Gertzman. She lived in Williamsburg, and then at the end of her life she lived in Borough Park. And then she was very sick for a long time. And I used to send her a card every single day. And when I came to Menachem Avil after she had passed away, the family took out from a shoebox 300 cards that she had saved, because that's what she looked forward to every day. You know, Rav Palm recently told over such a touching story. Rav Palm is a Kohen, so a Kohen can't come to a hospital. And so therefore, he once wrote a letter. There was a man in the shul that wasn't well. So he wrote him a letter and he said, I'm sorry, I can't come visit you, but I wish that you would have it a full shleima. And the man was so proud that Rafam, the Rosh Yeshiva of Tzara Das, wrote him this letter, that every person that came, he used to show this person, he would show, look, Rafam, the Rosh Yeshiva, wrote me a letter. And when this person was nifter, there was a rav that came from out of town and knew the family, and he was asked to give a hesped, and he didn't know anything about the person, but he knew that Rafam wrote him a letter. So he said at the hesped, imagine how chashuv this person is. He got a letter from Rafam. And when Rafam was told about this, he said, look, I'm so frightened. I wish I would never have written that letter. And they asked him, Rafam, what do you mean? So he said, of course, I don't mean literally that I wish that I didn't write the letter. But look how much good came from something that took 2 minutes. Every day the man felt good. He showed people he got the letter. By the hesped, he got so much cover because I wrote a... How long did it take to write a letter? How long did it take to make a telephone call? Maybe a minute, maybe 2 minutes. That's something we have to remember. Keep in mind that sometimes it's just a small thing that makes the chayla understand that you care. Another thing, don't tell them you're troubled. And don't come dressed like you're going to a chasana. Many times you come dressed because you're going out to Manhattan, right? You're going to go shopping, but like this, you're going to visit somebody in the hospital. It's very, very disconcerting for a chayla to see how you're all decked out going to a bar mitzvah when they have to lie in the hospital bed. And also, whatever the patient looks like, don't walk in and look shocked. I remember I had an uncle of mine that never once had face surgery. And when I walked into the room, I was so shocked. I couldn't believe it. I had to walk out and I saw the doctor. And I said to the doctor, what did you do to him? He said, what do you mean? He looks like a rose. I said, maybe with the thorns in it. But to the doctor, it looked beautiful because it was professionally nice. But a person has to be able to control themselves. So let's remember, our main goal is to make people feel important, but never have to show them at their expense. I just want to end with two thoughts. Many times we feel, how can we give money? How can we give money to a bigger chaylim? How can we give money? Money is so tight today. And I heard recently a delightful little story about a person who lived in Syria, and outside of Syria there was a person, a dorfman, she didn't know much about anything. And what happened was, he once had to come to mail a letter. And he didn't know anything about mailing a letter. So he came, they told him to go to the post office. They went to the post office, and the fellow behind the counter said to him, you can't mail this letter, it's too heavy. So he said, it's too heavy, what am I supposed to do? So he said, you have to put on 3 stamps. He said, what do you mean, if I put on 3 stamps, it's going to be heavier? He said, no, Chacham, it's only the stamps that are going to make it go through. The Gemara says in Gittin Zion on the day that if a person sees that money is tight, he should give tzedakah. What do you mean give tzedakah? It's going to make it tighter. No, the tzedakah is like the stamps itself. And the tzedakah is the thing that's going to carry it through. If it's tight and you give tzedakah, that's going to make it that you'll be able to give it through. I just want to end with this thought. It's mentioned, we all know, that when Naomi, she had two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Orpah, it says, kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth attached herself to her. And the Gemara said that many years later, when David and Goliath were fighting a war, and David was standing on the battlefield, and he was much smaller than Goliath, David came from Ruth, Goliath came from Orpah, and then the Gemara says a Baskel came out and said, Yovayu b'nei Anashuka, the son of the one who kissed, should fall into the hands, the Yiplu b'yad b'nei Hadavuka, should fall into the hands of the one who became attached. Lip service is not good enough. You need attachment. She, Orpah, was willing to kiss her mother-in-law, but that wasn't enough. You have to be attached. This afternoon I heard a beautiful story about the lady Fruma de Mukat de Rebbe, the Chayim of Racha. Many, many times when she was a little girl, every Friday night, she used to pick up the becher, and she used to give the becher to her father, the Minchas Elazar, and that's how he would make Kiddush. And when she was an older girl, when she was 15, 16 years old, and there were bochrim sitting around the table, people went to the Minchas Elazar, and they said, after the pasnish, as a megel is done, she's going to give you the becher. And the Rebbe said, if the bochrim don't like it, then they don't have to come to my table. This is the way I've always made Kiddush. My own daughter, who I cling to and who I love so much, this is the way I always make Kiddush, and this is the way I will always make Kiddush. And Taka, even when she was 15, 16, she used to pick up the becher in front of everyone and give it to the Heilige Tata. The lady, the Munkat, the Rebetzin Fruma, she was Bahef to her father. She was like Ruth, the Dalek with Reina B'mitzvah Secha, wasn't only lip service. When people used to come to the Minchas Elazar, she used to make sure that they went home with food. She was one who realized that when her father passed away and he owed so much money, even though people gave him money, but he told people they're going to have to sell the house to pay back all the debts because all the money that he had, he gave away for tzedakah. She was proud of it. And people in Eretz Yisrael said that when she used to talk about her father, all she had to say is my Heilige Tata, and she couldn't even talk anymore. Tears would come to her eyes. She was Bahef, she was Dovak to her father, not only because she was his daughter, but because she followed in her ways of Chesed. In this Chag of Shavuot, let us be Mispala V'Hoyer Eneinu B'Sor HaSecha, V'Zabik Libeinu B'Mitzvah HaSecha, let us become attached to the Mitzvah of the Frat, the Mitzvah of Zikr Cholem. And we all know that if Eichel Peretem B'Elam HaZev HaKeren Kayem HaSolam HaBo, the Eishah should help us in the schus of the Minchas Elazar and in the schus of the Rebetzin Fruma, who lived the life of the Zeikas B'Mitzvah, that all of us should follow in her ways and mainly feel the pain of others in our tefillah, in the meals that we prepare, in the visits that we do to the cholim, and also in the money that we give to this wonderful organization. The Eibishter should help that there shouldn't be any more any sick people, and that the munkat to bigger cholim should have to go out of business and to be able to do other mitzvahs. We should all see Mashiach in our time in this chus of the mitzvah. Thank you for listening.